guard to mind your manners.
Yes, boys and girls, it's time to mind your manners with Alan Ludden and his panel of typical teenagers. From the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, the National Broadcasting Company presents a teenage discussion session for boys and girls from 8 to 18. Adults are invited to sit in on the meeting, too, so gather around, because here he comes, the man who conducts the meeting, that man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden.
Thank you, Ed Anderson. Hello there, boys and girls. We're all set here in the studio with an audience full of eager boys and girls, a batch of real problems that you sent in, and our panel of typical teenagers. So, without any further ado, I'd like to have you meet your panel, and as usual, they will introduce themselves.
Chad Utley, 16 years old, high school senior.
Evan O'Brien, 17 years old, high school senior.
Eileen Barry, 17 years old, high school senior.
Fred Smith, 16 years old, high school senior.
Anita Ager, 15 year old, high school junior.
And as our authority from the younger set, we have our old friend,
David Benton, 13 years old, 7th grade.
Well, panel, this past week you heard from a lot of your friends all over the country, and they sent you some very interesting problems. And we're going to send to the five boys and girls whose letters were selected for discussion $5 in savings stamps each. And the grand prize winner gets a $25 savings bond. So, let's see what our problems are today. The first letter was chosen for your discussion came from a young man, 11 years old, who lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he will receive $5 in savings stamps for submitting it.
I am 11 years old. My friends smoke when they get a chance, and sometimes they drink. I don't do those things, so they get mad at me and won't let me play games with them. I'd like to hear what I should do. Thank you. P.S. They steal, too.
You got any word to help this young man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Fred Smith?
Well, we think here on the panel that it's never too early to start building character. In fact, the first time that you start to build your character is the first time that you are tempted to do something wrong.
All right, and so you think that at 11 years old, he's plenty able to build character, is that
That's
it?
That's right.
Eileen, what's your word?
The good boy doesn't follow the crowd. He sets the standards of his crowd. Individualism is the most important thing.
All right, Emmett?
Well, the fellows in this town must be missing something, and I would like to say to the parents and the adults of the community that here is another need for canteens, and also he should join the Boy Scouts or some church group.
In other words, he should find his friends outside of these boys who are doing wrong, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
David, do you have any word for this boy?
Definitely. As long as he knows he's right, and he's got the common sense to stop such things, and he sticks to his part, he's doing all right.
And you don't think he should worry about being able to play games with these fellas, is that right?
He should feel happy that he's left out.
All right, because they're wrong and he's right and he should be sure of it, huh?
Yes.
All right, Anita, what word do you have for this young man?
Well, I think he could find some friends in outside organizations, and it really is a compliment to be excluded by a group of this kind of boys.
All right, Pat, what's your word on it?
Well, gee, I think the panel has given us some good answers, and I just can't think of a thing to say.
All right, in other words, you're all for everything they've said.
The Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, Y groups, and canteens.
Imagine Pat not being able to think of something to say.
Isn't that well, I can think of something to say. I think it's about time, at 11 years old, that he starts to be a man.
All right, do you think it's more manly to be right than it is to be wrong in a case like this, Fred?
Definitely.
All right, do you think that a boy who refuses to do such bad things as to smoke and to drink and to steal, certainly at 11 years old, that young man who refuses that sort of thing should sit down and feel very proud of himself and not at all sorry? Is that what your word is?
That's right.
Eileen, what's the last word?
It's only when we're ostracized by those that we like and admire that it really hurts, not by those we don't respect.
Well, that's a good idea. Now we move around to question number two, which comes to us from a young lady who lives in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, and this is the problem she presents.
Open their children's mail? Is it wrong for a child to write a letter and mail it without the parents reading it first? And why can't children get letters through the mail without having to show them to mother and daddy?
All right, there are three questions, panel. First of all, should parents open children's mail? Anita Eggers.
Well, no, I think it teaches the children disrespect for the property of other people. And it takes the joy out of receiving letters, too.
All right, you, in other words, think by, and under no circumstance should a parent open a child's mail?
No.
All right, what are some other points, though, to be considered in this problem, Emmett O'Brien?
Well, disrespect is taught by parents who open the child's mail.
How?
Well, if the parent opens the child's mail, the privacy of the child is hurt, and the children will take this example and do the same. And I'd like to speak to the children that let parents help you in writing your letters, too.
All right, David, what do you want to say?
If the parents are very constructive in the way they build up this boy so that he can write his own letters and have a good background on writing letters, then they're helping him. But if they go ahead and rip open his letters to see what's going on, or before he mails them, look and check every word that he writes, they're giving that boy a bad complex as far as other people's property is concerned.
Good idea, Pat.
Well, he says, why can't children get letters to the mail without having to show them to their mother and father? Well, they can, and I think a good idea would be to have this boy, if he does get a letter...
It's a girl.
Well, a girl. A boy or a girl. If he gets a letter through the mail that the parents don't open, I think it would be a good idea if the fella took the letter to his parents and said, would you like to read the letter I got today? Then the parents would feel, well, he's not trying or she's not trying to hide anything from me. I'll let, you know, he or she open the letter from now on.
Makes kind of a family fair proposition, all right? What do you think about it, Eileen?
I'd like to go all overboard with David and have parents say, wouldn't it be better if you wrote it this way? I know even today with thank you notes, I like to have my mother look them over.
You think that they can help you sometimes?
Yes, they can, and sometimes... Your spelling, I know mine, can be awful at times.
It certainly mine can be right now. What about it, Fred?
Well, when somebody else, for instance, opens your Christmas cards or something like that, it takes a kick right out of getting mail.
All right, then we are definitely on record then as opposing parents to opening children's mail, but we do speak to the children and ask them to get the assistance of their parents in perhaps writing letters so that they can benefit by the parents' experience. But by all means, parents, allow the child the privacy of his own mail, particularly when he's receiving it. All right. Next, we turn to the department of these weekly meetings that are reserved for problems submitted by our adult listeners. Now, today's problem comes to your panel from a senior Girl Scout leader in Noland, Ohio. She writes, why don't teenagers of today take more interest in the scouting program? Is it that the adult leaders do not make it attractive, or are boys and girls of the teenage just not interested in outdoor activities? Does the panel have any suggestions that might help the adult scout leaders plan their programs so that it will attract more boys and girls in their teens? Well, there you are, panel. Can you answer those questions from your friend in Noland, Ohio? And do you have any suggestions that might help her? Fred Smith.
Scouting has an interesting and moving program, which all boys and girls should be interested in. I think the main reason that more aren't interested in this program is that they just don't know what it is all about. In short, scouting does not get enough publicity.
I might add that Fred Smith is an Eagle Scout, of whom we're very proud, and you feel then, Fred, that there's a lot to the program that lots of boys and girls don't know about.
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll get back around to that later. Right now, though, let's answer the question, are teenagers interested in outdoor activities as such? Pat Utley.
Well, sure they are. You know, teenagers go skiing or skating or swimming, too, is popular. So it is, it's not that they aren't interested in outdoor stuff. The reason they don't go to these meetings, I think, is because they have other activities in schools to attend where, you know, they conflict with their scout meetings. And that leaders don't have a planned program, a constructive program that these teenagers can get their hands into and really make something out of it.
Anita, do you have anything to say along that line?
Well, I think that if the leaders took more time to plan active things and constructive things for the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts to do, that they'd get more people interested in joining.
All right, do you think they should plan them? What about carrying those plans through, though? They need the help of the teenagers. They need the help of the scouts. What about the teenagers who just don't take an interest in it?
Well, if the program is interesting enough, I think that they'd all join.
All right, Eileen, what's your point?
There's the interior decorating badge, the camera badge, which would be loads of fun, especially in the winter. They could try and make a big display in some store window showing the pictures they've taken around the town. They'll get publicity, they'll have fun doing it, and they'll enjoy it. And I'd like to say I'd love to live in Noland, Ohio, because around here we just don't have any senior scout leaders.
Well, that's a good plug for senior scout leaders. Emmett, your last word?
In connection with what Eileen said, there is a definite lack of adequate leaders. And I think the teenagers like a great many social functions more than the outdoors, but I think the outdoors teaches you how to live on your own.
All right, we're going to have to wind this up, but as we do, I'd like to say that we would like very much to hear from boys and girls who are interested in scouting. We'd like to hear from leaders who are interested in getting more scouts. You know, as we close this adult discussion period of today's meeting, I'd like to say to all the adult listeners that we are sincerely interested in hearing your ideas for subjects suited to this part of our meeting. If you have a problem that you would like to hear discussed by this panel of typical teenagers, won't you drop us a line and let us know what it is? We appreciate your letters, and they all receive our fullest attention. We have no prizes for the adults, but for all you boys and girls, we do have prizes, and here is your friend Ed Anderson to tell you how you can win them.
Yes, boys and girls, if you have a question about social behavior at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners. You may win one of those fine prizes. Each week, we award a $25 savings bond to the writer of the best stated and most interesting question. And for the five other questions selected for discussion, Mind Your Manners awards $5 in savings stamps. All entries become the property of this program. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. The decision of our judges is final. Contest closes at midnight on Wednesday of each week. Entries received after that date will be considered for the following week's contest. So, boys and girls, remember, Mind Your Manners is your show, and we want your problems. Send all entries to this address. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York. Send your questions in today.
Now let's see who won $5 in saving stamps for sending us our third problem. It came from a girl who graduated from high school last year. And this is the problem she has to present to you, panel.
My girlfriend and I have been close friends for 6 years. Lately, she has started behaving in a manner that I think is most unbecoming. Her mother tries to correct her, but she does it all wrong. As a result, the girl just ignores her and goes on her merry way. She does confide in me, however, and often asks me what to do about her fussy mother. I am sorely tempted to tell her to go home and behave herself, but I hesitate to intrude. Do you think I should put my 2 cents worth in, since my friend does discuss her family relations with me? Or should I let her learn the error of her ways the hard way?
All right, Eileen, what do you have to say?
Put your 2 cents in, but good. I think you can give this girl some good advice. You sound like you can, and I think she'll be a lot more ready to take it from you than from her parents.
All right, what about it, Fred, though? What thing do you want to augment Eileen's statement with?
Well, she wouldn't come to this girl if she didn't have faith in her and trust her, and so that I think it would be a good idea if she did try to help this girl out and not drop her like a hot potato because she is doing wrong. She does have a definite obligation in trying to help this girl.
All right, what do you think, Pat?
Well, I think this girl, she sounds like a really swell girl, and I think by her own example, by letting the other girl see how much fun she has coming in on time or doing things that aren't unbecoming, I think the other girl would realize that perhaps the things she's doing are wrong, and she'd follow the other girl's example.
Well, but now what about this girl who won't listen to her mother because of the way her mother says something, the way her mother corrects her? Do you think this girl could help there, Anita Eggers?
Well, I think it could be explained to her that her mother was young once herself, and she's probably gone through the same things. So, well, she knows what she's talking about, and maybe it could be explained to listen to her, even if it does sound sort of silly sometimes.
All right, even if the mother perhaps corrects the girl in an ineffective way, she should be taught and she should be impressed with the idea that it's a good idea to listen, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah.
You think this friend could do that better perhaps than one of her mother's friends?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Emmett, what's your word on it?
Well, I think the friend would have more effect on it because teenagers are more likely to accept criticism from other teenagers.
Well, now, you've said that twice. That's kind of a good plug for our panel here, but actually, I think it does bear up investigation. David, what is your word to this friend who's wondering if she's going to intrude if she tries to correct a friend of hers?
It's definitely her responsibility as a friend.
All right, then our word is by all means to put your 2 cents in work. 2 cents worth in and help out your friend and try to persuade her that her mother is right after all. And now you know what time it is. It's time to hear from our studio audience. So, how about it, audience? Are you ready for your right-wrong quiz?
Yeah!
Fine. Now, Eddie Robbins is going to make 5 statements about manners at parties, and it's up to you to tell us whether those statements are right or wrong. If Ed Anderson selects you to speak up for the audience, you'll get a fine gift. So get on your toes now and tell us whether these statements are right are wrong.
When dressing for a party, a boy should check his nails, his hair, his socks, and his shoes because they are very important items in good party grooming.
Is that statement right or wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong. Young man, what's your name?
Donald Yasowich.
You don't think that a boy should check his nails, his hair, his socks, and his shoes? You don't think they're important?
I mean, it is right.
It's right? I thought you meant that, Donald. Okay, we'll give you credit for that. Incidentally, what should you check about your nails?
Check if they're clean.
What should you check about your socks?
See if you pull them up.
What about your hair?
To comb it.
What about your shoes?
See if they're tied.
And shine, don't you think?
Yes.
Donald, you're a good boy, and your grooming is going to be excellent. Here's a little gift for you, and thank you a lot.
Anyone who brings along uninvited guests to a party without checking with the host or hostess is very thoughtless and ill-mannered.
Is that right or wrong, audience, young lady?
That is true.
That is true. You should not bring uninvited guests unless you have checked with the hostess. What's your name?
Nancy Cole.
Thank you, Nancy. All right, here's your third one, audience.
If a boy and a girl are going steady and are very deeply in love, it is perfectly all right for them to sit in one corner at a party and swoon over each other.
All right, what about that? Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
You're so right, that's wrong. You don't think that couples should sit in the corner and swoon over each other. They should get in and join the party, right?
Yes.
What's your name?
Sally Makepeace.
Thank you, Sally. Here's a gift for you, and here's your fourth one, audience.
Boys prefer to dance with a girl who is capable of an interesting conversation, but who does not talk all the time just to hear herself talk.
Now, is that right or wrong? Let's hear from a young man, Eddie.
Wrong.
Wrong? You think a boy likes to dance with a girl who talks all the time, yakety-yakety-yakety like that?
Wrong.
No? You think a boy likes to talk to dance with a girl who talks well but doesn't talk all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
So do you think that statement's right or wrong?
Right.
Right. You're so right, I knew you had that right. What's your name?
Jackie Sullivan.
Thank you, Jackie. Here's a gift for you, and here's your fifth one, audience.
Boys who drape themselves on the furniture and put their feet on a coffee table look very casual and at ease at parties, and hostesses always like to invite them again.
Oh, everybody's hand is up. Here's a Cub Scout.
Wrong.
Wrong? You're so right. That's wrong. You don't put your feet up on the table. You don't drape around the furniture. Hostesses don't like that. What's your name?
Robert Veet.
What is it?
Robert Veet.
Thank you, Robert. Here's a gift for you. And you did mighty fine today, audience. It was almost 100%, I'd say, after we'd worked them over a little bit. I hope you had a good time, and I hope you'll all come back to our next meeting. And right now, we move back to the panel to hear what they have to say in answer to a problem sent in by a 17-year-old young man who lives in Laurel, Mississippi. Here is his problem.
What's all this about a boy having to wear a dress shirt and tie to a teenage party? Some of my friends tell me I am undressed without a tie. Well, girls wear slip-over sweaters and anything they like. So what's wrong with a clean white sport shirt that is starched and ironed with the collar turned out? I'm 17, and I hate to wear ties.
How old are you, Emmett?
I'm 17, and I wear a tie all the time whenever I go out.
You even wears a bow tie, I might add, if you're out of day.
You have to start growing up sometime. Why not start now? In later life, you're going to have to wear a tie.
But do you think, Emmett, that it's kind of hard to start wearing it? Was it comfortable when you first started wearing a tie?
Well, it was a little uncomfortable. Many of us don't like to wear them, but we have to do it because, well, convention demands it, practically.
All right, now here's David Benton. How old are you, David?
13 years old, and I still believe you're supposed to wear a tie.
All right, David. Incidentally, when were you 13?
Day after Christmas.
A day after Christmas? Well, you've been 13 quite a while.
Happy birthday,
incidentally. We failed to observe that birthday on you. You have a tie on right now, David. Is it comfortable?
Certainly.
When did you get used to wearing a tie?
Well, anywhere from 6 to 7.
All right, well, then you didn't have the problem this boy at 17 does, but do you think, David, that a boy at 17 should learn to begin to be comfortable in a tie?
Surely. If he learns now, it'll be much easier later.
All right, and it'd been easier if he learned it earlier, wouldn't it? All right, Fred Smith, what's your point?
You shouldn't wear a sports shirt to a party any more than you'd wear shoulder pads playing baseball.
Oh, all right. That's a very good point. What do you mean by that, though, Fred?
Well, convention naturally calls for shoulder pads in football, not baseball, just as convention calls for a tie at a party.
All right, now what's the girl's point of view on this, Anita Eggers?
Well, I think if he's going out with a girl that has on bobby socks and a floppy sweater, I think it's all right. But as long as he's going to a party, I think he should wear a tie, and 17 is old enough to learn.
All right, now let's make this one thing clear. An open, clean, white shirt folded out at the front, starched, is very fine, but it is sports dress, isn't it? A boy 17 who's going on a dress-up party with a girl who's dressed up. Girls, don't you think he looks better in a tie?
Yes.
All right, fine. Now we move along to question number 5, and it was sent to you panel by a girl in Flushing, New York. And of course, she will receive $5 in savings stamps for submitting it, and here is her problem.
I am a girl 9 years old. I have to wear glasses, but I don't like to. At school, my teacher makes me wear them, and I wear them at home when my parents are there. When they're not, of course, I take my glasses off. My girlfriend says I'm deceiving my mother, but I say it's my business, and I don't have to wear them if I don't want to. Don't you agree with me?
David?
The future seen through the glasses at 9 may bring good sight at 20.
Oh, how poetic we are today. When did you work that one out, David? Now, what exactly does it mean?
Well, if you start now and you use your glasses to the best of your ability, your sight will probably be good at 20.
In other words, she should wear them now so that she can perhaps take them off later.
Prepared later.
All right, what do you think about it, Anita?
Well, I'd just like to point out that she isn't deceiving anybody but herself.
Fred?
So she thinks she's doing her parents a big favor by wearing the glasses? She's only doing herself a favor.
What about her teacher? Is she doing her teacher a favor?
No.
Eileen?
And if she can get some plastic glasses, she can paint them with black nail polish, red, blue, yellow, green. I've done it with mine, and they look cute.
Oh, they look cute and loud, don't they?
Yes, they do, and she can start a fad.
All right, Emmett?
It sounds to me as if this girl is worried about how she looks. Well, I know a lot of girls that are very beautiful, and they wear glasses.
Now, that girl, now, a word from a man, and after all, Emmett is a 17-year-old with a bow tie on, and he says that girls sometimes are very beautiful in glasses, and so she has no worry there, right? What's your last word on this subject?
Well, you know something? If you wear them for a year or so now, or however long it is, you're only 9 years old, you'll have those glasses off and have swell eyesight by the time you're 13 or 14, and all the fellas won't even notice. I mean, whether you wear glasses or not, they don't either, because I wear them, too, and I don't like to.
And they don't get in your way, huh, shall we say?
Well, they don't get in my way, and no one seems to mind.
All right, fine. And now we come to the high point of our meeting, the grand prize question of the week. Incidentally, we hope the girl in Flushing, New York was listening and that she will start wearing her glasses. But now we're going to go into the grand prize question of the week. And here is that question that was judged the best stated and the most interesting of all those submitted this week. And for it, Miss Marceline Stoughton in Emporia, Kansas, will receive a $25 savings bond. So, panel, your very best attention now is invited to this grand prize question of the week.
Should a girl with a college education go steady with a boy who never had the chance to finish high school or go to college?
What about that, audience? I mean, not audience, but panel, rather. What are you going to say about this question of a college girl going with a boy who has not had a college education? We've talked at great length about the advantages of going to college, but we seem to have neglected those boys and girls who simply cannot go to college. So what about them? What about it, Fred Smith?
Well, this boy, who didn't even have a chance to finish high school, has learned more by self-education than this girl who had the chance to go to college and finished college.
In other words, you think it's possible that he could have learned more, is that right?
I think he probably did.
All right, and what do you think about it, Eileen?
Look at your top social families in America. Ask them where most of their fathers started out. Some of them didn't even have grammar school.
All right. Anita?
Well, professionally, it might be important to have a college degree, but I think in your personal relations with people, it doesn't make any difference. And if she really likes him, I think she should go with him.
What do you think you should look for in the people you go with, Anita? Should it be how much money he has, what his college education, or whether his father does, or what is it that you really should look for in the boy you're going to go steady with?
His personality.
And what else?
Character.
And his character, all right? What about his manners? That's part of his character.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pat, what's your word?
Well, you know something? This letter sounds like downright snobbery to me, and if this girl has gone through college with that attitude, I think she's wasted her whole 4 years, and I much more admire this boy.
All right, you admire the boy who's had to do it himself.
He's gone through the University of Hard Knocks, and I bet when he gets through, he's going to be better than that girl ever will be.
All right, well, now, let's don't be quite so hard on this young lady. There's a discussion subject out in Emporia, Kansas, it seems. However, I do think there's a point there, that it is snobbery to look upon the superficial qualifications of a person. Fred?
Is she going to fall in love with a boy or with his education?
Well, that's a point. Emmett?
Well, that University of Hard Knocks sometimes make a person have more on the ball than a regular college person.
All right, so we do urge, by all means, that professionally you try to go to college. But if you do go to college, consider it your blessing and don't, for heaven's sakes, extend it to the point of thinking that you are by any means thereby superior. Now, panel, I'd like to talk just a little bit more about this question because it's one that lots of boys and girls are going to face as the spring term begins to end. Now, when you start to think about shall I or shall I not go to college, what actually should be your point of view? What is the reason for going to college, the best one you can think of? Eileen?
Go to college because you want it, for some definite reason, because you're going to get something out of it. But remember, when you come out of college, sometimes the person who's worked is ahead of you, and you can't go into an office or a lot of people in offices and stores think, oh, that college person, she thinks she knows everything.
All right, actually, don't you think a college education increases your potential ability? It doesn't, by just the fact of having a degree, make you in any way superior, right?
Yes, it increases the amount that you can absorb.
All right, I hope we can have some letters on that, because as the spring term approaches, we're going to talk more and more about going to college, why go to college, and how to go to college. And now we open up the answer box to find the answer to those questions that were sent in but that were not selected for discussion. Today's first question to come from the answer box is...
The question from a boy in Miami, Florida, that was left to the girls last week. It was, why is it that teenage girls are so anxious these days to get serious and tie a boy down to going steady?
Well, as we might have expected, the girls were only too ready to answer our friend in Miami, Florida. We had letters from girls all over the United States, and it seems the girls do not agree that it is always their idea to go steady. As a matter of fact, most of the girls pointed out that it was the boys in their community who seemed most anxious to make a steady arrangement. Some of the girl answers went on at great length, advising this young man that he should never submit to going steady if he didn't want to. No girl wants a steady boyfriend who is not anxious to go with her and her alone. Going steady should be a mutual agreement, and one that is reached only after the boy and girl have gone together for some time and are sure that they prefer each other's company to all others. There were other letters that argued that it's not a good idea for teenagers to go steady at all, but summing up the answers the girls sent in, I would say that the girls denied completely the responsibility and recommended that our friend in Miami look around some more before he makes such damaging generalizations about our young womanhood.
From a girl in Montreal, Canada, I'm giving a birthday party next week, and since so many of the boys have asked me for my picture, I thought I'd just give one to everybody at the party. Do you think it would be all right?
No, we're sorry, but we don't think it would be a good idea. We suggest that you give your picture only to those friends who seem sincerely anxious to have one. Wholesale handing out of pictures seems a bit egotistical to us.
From a boy in Hartford, Connecticut. Does a fellow have to let his brother see his diary?
No. A personal diary is your private property, and no one should expect to see it. You certainly are not obliged to show it to anyone.
From a girl in Fargo, North Dakota. What about these new short hairstyles for girls? Do the boys go for them, or would they rather we girls keep our long, soft tresses?
Ah, there it is, boys. That's the question we leave up to our audience. It's the question that only you boys can answer, so let's hear from you fellows. What do you have to say in answer to this question?
Do the boys go for the new short hairstyles, or would they prefer that the girls keep their hair long?
And that puts the top right back on the answer box. It's almost time to adjourn today's meeting, but before we do, let's hear from our panel one more time.
This is Pat Utley thanking all the boys and girls and the adults who wrote to us this past week. We certainly hope you will continue to be part of our program.
This is David Benton with an invitation to you to join us next week. And bring your friends, won't you?
This is Notting Barry reminding the boys and girls who are not yet teenagers that this is your show, too.
This is Fred Smith with a word to the boys. If you have any kind of problem about how to get along socially, send it in. And maybe these girls will come up with some ideas that might help us all.
This is Anita Ager reminding you to be sure and put your full name and address on your letters.
And this is Emmett O'Brien with our address. Send your cards or letters to Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York.
Well, panel, you did a good job today, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all of our listeners when I congratulate you on your good sense and imagination. We're all looking forward now to next week's meeting, so don't be late, anybody. I'll be calling Mind Your Manners to order at this same time next week. So have a wonderful week, and drop us a note, won't you? This is Alan Ludden saying goodbye now.
Boys and girls, this is your program. If you have a problem about social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners. You may win one of the six prizes. Remember, the best question wins a $25 savings bond. Mind Your Manners is produced by Fred Wade. This is Ed Anderson reminding you that Alan Ludden will be calling another meeting to order next week at the same time. And you're invited. So we'll see you then. And in the meantime, remember,
it is smart to mind your manners.
Mind Your Manners has come to you from the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. And here's word about your wonderful Sunday on NBC. There's Ozzie and Harriet, 9-year-old Norman Fickett, facing his third contest on Horace Heights program. Phil Harris and Alice Faye with Fred Allen as guest, then Fred's own show with guest Jack Haley, and Douglas Fairbanks Jr. starring in The Exile. There's much more, and it's all yours tomorrow on most of these NBC stations. Remember your wonderful Sunday on NBC. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.